Becca Fitzpatrick's Crescendo has captivated millions of readers worldwide with its unique blend of supernatural romance and thrilling suspense. This second installment in the Hush Hush saga continues to explore the forbidden relationship between a human girl and her fallen angel boyfriend, diving deeper into the dangerous world of angels, Nephilim, and ancient blood feuds. The novel has developed a cult following among young adult readers, with celebrities like Emma Roberts and Taylor Swift reportedly counting themselves as fans. Its exploration of dangerous love resonates particularly with readers navigating their own complex relationships, while its supernatural elements tap into our cultural fascination with beings that exist beyond the human realm. The story opens at Delphic Beach, where Nora Gray and her fallen angel boyfriend, Patch, share an intimate moment against the backdrop of crashing waves and moonlit sand. Their relationship has matured significantly since the events of Hush Hush, evolving from initial distrust to deep emotional connection. This evolution is symbolized through their exchange of meaningful tokens, Patch giving Nora his silver archangel chain, an ancient artifact that helps discern truth from lies, while Nora offers him a copper ring that belonged to her deceased father, perhaps her most treasured possession. These exchanges represent not just romantic affection, but a profound trust in a relationship that exists precariously between mortal and immortal realms. The beach scene reveals layers of vulnerability, particularly when Nora makes the weighty declaration, "I love you," and seeks reassurance about their future. Patch's response, a slight nod rather than verbal confirmation, speaks volumes about their complicated situation. His hesitation stems not from a lack of feeling, but from an acute awareness of the dangerous consequences their love might trigger. As a fallen angel, he knows better than most the price of forbidden love, having witnessed countless similar relationships end in tragedy throughout his centuries of existence. Their moment of intimacy is shattered when Patch suddenly tenses, sensing an otherworldly presence in the nearby woods. While Nora of human senses detect nothing unusual in the darkness beyond the beach, Patch's supernatural awareness picks up signs of surveillance, likely from archangels monitoring their forbidden relationship. Before he can explain the nature of the threat, headlights cut through the darkness as Nora's mother arrives to enforce curfew. This intrusion of mundane reality, parental authority, and teenage restrictions creates a stark contrast with the supernatural elements of their relationship, highlighting how Nora must straddle both worlds. Patch's hasty departure leaves Nora in a state of uncertainty. His quick exit could be attributed to the mysterious presence he sensed, but it might also suggest discomfort with the weight of Nora's emotional declaration. This ambiguity perfectly encapsulates the central tension of their relationship, never knowing whether challenges arise from supernatural dangers or the more ordinary complications of young love. The scene effectively establishes the complex dynamics that will drive the narrative forward. Their relationship exists under constant scrutiny from archangels who strictly forbid romantic attachments between fallen angels and humans. This supernatural surveillance, combined with the intensity of their feelings and the normal pressures of teenage life, creates a pressure cooker of emotion and danger. Every tender moment between them carries the weight of potential consequences, transforming their love story into a high-stakes game of defiance against both heavenly authority and earthly constraints. The delicate balance of Nora and Patch's relationship begins to crumble when Marcy Miller, Nora's longtime rival since elementary school, methodically inserts herself into their lives. Their antagonistic history spans years of subtle social warfare, with Marcy consistently finding ways to undermine Nora's confidence and happiness. Now, Marcy reveals she's been conducting her own investigation, methodically combing through school records, and makes a troubling discovery. Patch's student file is completely empty, lacking even basic enrollment documentation that should exist for every student. The situation takes a more sinister turn when Marcy shares an observation that sends Nora's world spinning. She claims to have seen Patch outside her house the previous night, standing motionless in her driveway and staring intently at her bedroom window. The timing of this revelation proves especially devastating for Nora, coming mere hours after she had finally opened herself up to Patch, vulnerably confessing her deep feelings for him in what should have been a pivotal moment in their relationship. When confronted, Patch's explanation only deepens the emotional wound. He admits to being at Marcy's house, but frames it as a matter of supernatural business, describing how Marcy had been injured after witnessing a disturbing scene, fallen angels attempting to coerce a Nephilim into swearing an oath of fealty. His seemingly detached attitude about the incident and apparent protective instinct toward Marcy, their mutual enemy, triggers Nora's deepest insecurities about their relationship and her place in his life. Driven by mounting anxiety and doubt, Nora directly challenges Patch about his feelings, asking the question that's been haunting her: does he love her? His response reveals the cruel paradox at the heart of their relationship. If the archangels become convinced of his love for her, they will condemn him to hell for eternity. This impossible situation creates an emotional pressure cooker where even acknowledging their genuine feelings could result in devastating consequences. Trapped between her love and her fear of destroying him, Nora makes the heartbreaking decision to end their relationship, masking her true motivations behind claims of wanting to explore other aspects of life. The physical and emotional aftermath of this separation manifests with devastating intensity. Nora experiences severe physical symptoms, violent nausea that sends her rushing to the bathroom, debilitating dizziness, and a profound hollow ache in her chest that seems to echo the void left by Patch's absence. Her internal struggle reveals the complexity of her decision as she desperately searches for alternative solutions, wondering if there might be some way to circumvent fate or the Archangel's threats. Yet each potential scenario she imagines is colored by the terrifying possibility that any contact between them might put Patch at even greater risk. The situation establishes the novel's central conflict. How can love survive in a world where its very acknowledgement threatens destruction? The situation raises profound questions about the nature of trust and commitment when supernatural forces create seemingly insurmountable barriers to honest communication. Their predicament forces both characters to grapple with impossible choices between love and safety, truth and protection, desire and duty, while navigating the complex web of celestial politics and personal relationships that threatens to tear them apart. As Nora grapples with the emotional aftermath of her breakup, a series of disturbing events begin to unfold around her, transforming her ordinary world into something far more sinister. Her childhood friend Scott Parnell's unexpected return to town marks the beginning of these unsettling occurrences. Scott, once familiar and trustworthy, now exhibits behaviors that defy human explanation. His movements are too fluid, his reactions too quick, and his presence seems to drop the temperature in any room he enters. During what should have been a normal dinner with Scott and his mother, Nora witnesses an impossible exchange. Mother and son engaging in silent conversation, their eyes locked in an unnatural way, thoughts passing between them without words. Most disturbing is Scott's mother's barely concealed terror, her hands trembling when serving dinner, her eyes constantly darting to her son as if expecting him to transform into something monstrous at any moment. The supernatural elements intensify through Nora's dreams, particularly one vivid nightmare involving Hank Miller, her rival Marcy's father. In this dream, Hank appears not as the successful businessman she knows, but as a desperate man claiming to be Barnabas Underwood. His warnings about the devil's angels seeking possession of his body come with physical manifestations, his skin rippling as if something moves beneath it, his eyes shifting between their normal color and complete darkness. The dream leaves Nora with unexplained bruises and a lingering scent of sulfur, suggesting these night terrors might be more than simple dreams. The mystery deepens with the arrival of an anonymous package containing an iron ring that seems to radiate cold, its raised stamp of a clenched fist bearing scorch marks that appear fresh despite their age. The accompanying note's accusation about the Black Hand's involvement in her father's murder opens old wounds while raising new questions. The ring itself becomes warm only when Nora touches it, responding to her presence in ways that defy explanation. Nora's encounters with what appears to be her deceased father's spirit escalates in frequency and intensity. In the coffee shop incident with Scott, she not only sees her father, but smells his distinctive cologne and feels the temperature drop dramatically. The most terrifying encounter occurs at the abandoned townhouse, a building with a history of supernatural activity according to local legends. When her father's apparition appears, the entire structure seems to pulse with energy. The window frost forms intricate patterns before her father's hand, wearing his distinctive wedding ring with the small chip on the band, reaches through. The physical impossibility of the moment is overshadowed by the absolute reality of his cold grip on her arm, leaving marks that take days to fade. These supernatural occurrences weave together to form a complex tapestry of mystery and danger. The Black Hand's connection to her father's murder appears to be just one thread in a larger conspiracy involving Scott's transformation, Hank Miller's secret identity, and the supernatural forces circling ever closer to Nora. Each new revelation adds another layer of complexity while suggesting that her father's death wasn't a random act of violence, but part of a carefully orchestrated supernatural plot. As Nora delves deeper into these mysteries, she begins to notice other subtle changes in her town. More missing persons reports, strange symbols appearing on buildings overnight, and an increasing number of accidents that seem anything but accidental. Nora's emotional turmoil reaches new heights when she witnesses Marcy climbing into Patch's Jeep outside a club. This visual confirmation of her worst fears, that Patch has moved on with her nemesis, devastates her. Inside the club, Marcy deliberately taunts Nora by wearing Patch's baseball cap and inhaling its scent, asking cruelly, "Doesn't he smell amazing?" The confrontation escalates into a physical fight, with V throwing a drink at Marcy and the girls exchanging increasingly hostile insults. When Marcy claims Patch broke up with Nora because she wasn't enough of a slut, the verbal sparring turns violent. Marcy tackles Nora to the ground, punching her in the eye while claiming revenge for petty grievances dating back to fifth grade. The fight is only broken up when Patch himself appears, dragging Nora away before handing her off to V while he returns for Marcy, a choice that further wounds Nora. Later that night, Patch visits Nora in her dream, revealing he can enter her sleep state. Their confrontation about Marcy quickly turns passionate, with Nora pulling him close despite her anger. When her fingers brush the spot where his wings connect to his back, she's plunged into his memory, witnessing Marcy stripping down in his Jeep and trying to convince him to take her somewhere private. Though Patch doesn't completely shut down Marcy's advances, saying maybe someday when she asks to see his place, the memory reveals he hasn't fully committed to Marcy either. This love triangle creates multiple layers of pain and betrayal. For Nora, seeing Patch with her longtime enemy feels like the ultimate betrayal. For Patch, navigating his feelings for Nora while maintaining distance to protect her from the Archangels creates an impossible situation where any choice causes harm. And Marcy, though portrayed as the antagonist, is revealed to have her own complex motivations rooted in family secrets that will later come to light. The triangle serves not just as romantic drama, but as a mirror reflecting deeper truths about each character's vulnerabilities and fears. Nora's insecurity about her worth compared to Marcy, Patch's struggle between love and self-preservation, and Marcy's need to assert power through romantic conquest all reveal the emotional wounds driving their actions. The supernatural danger surrounding Nora intensifies when she's drugged by a perfumed card, supposedly from Patch, and trapped in the library after hours. As she attempts to escape, she hears her father's voice calling to her. Initially comforting, the voice becomes strange and demanding, making her suspect someone is impersonating her dad to lure her. She flees the library, only to be pursued by a dark SUV in a terrifying chase through town. This incident marks an escalation from mysterious warnings to direct physical threats against Nora's life. Someone is actively trying to harm her, though their identity and motives remain unclear. The impersonation of her father's voice adds a particularly cruel psychological dimension to the attack, exploiting her grief and longing for her dad to lure her into danger. The threat level rises further during a visit to a pool hall with Scott, where Nora witnesses a confrontation between Scott and a menacing man with a strange brand near his collarbone, a clenched fist identical to the mark on the mysterious iron ring. The man violently stabs a pool stick through a slate table beside Scott's head, demonstrating superhuman strength before pulling a gun and demanding money. Patch later identifies this man as a Nephilim with a Blood Society branding mark, revealing the existence of an organized Nephilim group planning something that requires significant resources. These encounters establish that multiple dangerous factions are at play: the Archangels, who threaten Patch with hell if he loves Nora, the Nephilim Blood Society collecting resources for unknown purposes, and an unidentified party directly targeting Nora through psychological manipulation and physical threats. The convergence of these threats creates a sense of closing danger from all sides, with Nora caught in the middle of supernatural conflicts she doesn't fully understand. The escalating danger serves not just as plot advancement, but as a metaphor for the increasing complexity and stakes of Nora's journey into adulthood. As she navigates these supernatural threats, she's simultaneously grappling with very human challenges: heartbreak, jealousy, grief over her father, and questions about her identity and future. The external dangers mirror her internal emotional landscape, where nothing feels safe or certain anymore. Just as Nora begins to suspect Patch might be the Black Hand who killed her father, Marcy delivers another devastating blow, claiming that Nora's mother has been having a long-term affair with Hank Miller, Marcy's father. Even more shocking, Marcy suggests they might be half-sisters. Though Nora initially denies these accusations, she recalls finding Hank's Land Cruiser at her house after her father's death, a detail that suddenly takes on new significance. This revelation forces Nora to question everything she thought she knew about her family. The possibility that her mother betrayed her father with Hank Miller, that her family life was built on lies, and that Marcy, her longtime enemy, might actually be her half-sister, creates a profound identity crisis. Who is she if the foundation of her understanding of her family is false? The family secret takes on even greater significance when Patch reveals in a dream that Marcy, as a first-generation Nephilim's daughter, is in danger of being sacrificed by a Nephilim Blood Society seeking revenge. This information suggests a supernatural dimension to the family connection. If Marcy is a Nephilim's daughter, and she and Nora share a father, what does that make Nora? Later, while held captive by Rixon, Nora learns the full truth. Harrison Gray wasn't her biological father. Hank Miller is. Furthermore, Hank, whose Nephilim name is Barnabas, is a first-generation Nephilim born to a human and a fallen angel possessing a human body. This makes Nora herself part Nephilim, explaining her unusual abilities and connection to the supernatural world. This revelation transforms Nora's understanding of herself and reframes her entire life story. The father she mourned wasn't her biological father, though he loved and raised her as his own. Her true father is a powerful Nephilim leader with his own agenda in the supernatural conflict. And her nemesis, Marcy, is indeed her half-sister, sharing the same supernatural heritage. These family revelations connect the personal and supernatural dimensions of the story. What began as a romantic conflict between Nora, Patch, and Marcy is revealed to have deeper roots in supernatural bloodlines, ancient feuds, and hidden identities. Nora's quest to understand who killed her father becomes inextricably linked with the question of who she truly is. Throughout the novel, Nora struggles to determine who she can trust in a world where appearances are deceiving and motivations are hidden. Her suspicions increasingly focus on Patch as the possible Black Hand who killed her father, especially after learning from Rixon that the Black Hand was Patch's nickname during their time as mercenaries in 18th century France. However, the true betrayal comes from an unexpected source. While fleeing from Scott at Delphic Amusement Park, Nora is rescued by Rixon, who claims to be helping her on Patch's instructions. As they navigate through the funhouse to access underground tunnels, Nora has a vision of her father who gives her a cryptic instruction: touch Rixon's scars. The truth is there. Following this guidance, Nora touches the scars on Rixon's back and is transported into his memory. There, she witnesses her father's murder, but realizes the killer she assumed was Patch because of the blue ball cap was actually Rixon. This shocking revelation completely inverts her understanding of who to trust. The person she's been fleeing with is her father's murderer, while the person she suspected might be innocent. When confronted, Rixon confirms his guilt, revealing his jealousy of Patch, who regained his wings because of Nora, while Rixon remains on the fast track to hell. He admits to orchestrating everything to drive Patch and Nora apart, drugging the card, planting evidence, canceling their plans, even attempting to sacrifice Nora with dynamite. His ultimate goal was to sacrifice Nora as his Nephil vassal's daughter to gain a human body. This revelation forces Nora to completely recalibrate her trust. Patch, whom she had begun to suspect of the worst betrayal, was actually trying to protect her despite the constraints placed on him by the archangels. Rixon, who presented himself as a friend and ally, was the true villain working against her from the beginning. The unmasking of Rixon as the villain represents a profound lesson about trust and appearances. In a world where supernatural beings can manipulate perceptions and memories, discerning truth from deception becomes nearly impossible. Nora's journey teaches her to trust her instincts and emotional connections over appearances and claims, a lesson that will serve her as she faces even greater challenges ahead. In the novel's climactic moments, the true nature of Patch's actions throughout the story is finally revealed. Despite Nora breaking up with him and his apparent relationship with Marcy, Patch has been working behind the scenes to protect Nora and uncover the truth about Rixon's plans. When Patch arrives at Nora's house after she's been rescued from Rixon, he explains that he suspected Rixon all along but needed proof. He set Rixon up with V to watch him closely, using their relationship to monitor Rixon's activities. Though he couldn't directly protect Nora after she fired him as her guardian angel, he sent her memories and dreams, trying to warn her about Rixon and reveal the truth about her parentage. Most significantly, Patch confesses he's gone rogue, breaking with the archangels to save Nora from Rixon, a choice that could condemn him to hell forever. He banished Rixon to hell, an act of justice for Harrison Gray's murder, but also a direct defiance of the archangel hierarchy he's supposed to respect. This sacrifice demonstrates the depth of his love for Nora, willing to risk eternal damnation to protect her. The price of this choice becomes immediately apparent when Nephilim, led by Hank Miller, surround them and seize Patch. Hank reveals himself as the Black Hand, the leader of the Nephilim Blood Society, and demands to know if Nora killed Chauncey Langes, the events from the first book. This cliffhanger ending suggests that Patch's sacrifice for Nora has placed him directly in the hands of powerful enemies, setting up the conflict for the next book in the series. The novel's conclusion powerfully illustrates that love in this supernatural world always comes with a price. For Patch and Nora, their love has cost them safety, security, and potentially Patch's freedom from hell. Yet despite these terrible costs, they choose each other repeatedly, suggesting that some connections are worth any sacrifice. This theme resonates beyond the supernatural elements of the story, speaking to the universal experience of relationships that require sacrifice and courage to maintain. Though few readers will face archangels or Nephilim, many will recognize the feeling of loving someone despite external opposition or difficult circumstances, and the question of what they would sacrifice to protect that love.